Switch off.
Readouts 002, The Nature of Peace, December 24, 2020. That may seem like an ambitious title. It is in fact intended to be a precursor to, I believe, the next two entries in this list of readouts. I call it The Nature of Peace because it is about what works and what doesn't work, I think. I will preface this by saying my field is not diplomacy. My field is not social. I have a philosophical bent, but not a philosophical education per se, except for some classes I took indirectly through other people letting me listen to them. But I have had a number of experiences that have taught me a few things about people. So that's what I'm talking from. Do with that as you wish. I believe that several different approaches have been tried to making peace. One, of course, is to make everybody agree on something or follow a same set of rules, and therefore there's no conflict because everybody's on the same page. One is to have different divisions of people that never even connect with each other, so they don't have to care whether they agree or not. They are completely isolated and they never contact. Therefore, there's peace because there's no conflict available since there's no communication. Both of those can work. The second one used to be more from ignorance, people not being aware that there were other groups on the other side of a wall they didn't know was there. And the first one tends to be more by force that results in peace, but that makes people think war can be used to make peace. That's probably its own subject. But in the current scape of global communication, I believe that the separate entity approach is not entirely feasible anymore, and that is causing a lot of problems. And that's kind of why I'm writing here, one reason I'm writing. I believe we kind of need a 1.5. We're going to know that there's people who disagree with us because global communication is going to do that. We're going to know that we can't become exactly what everybody else wants because we're going to feel the pressure to do so from time to time. If we're wise, we're also going to know they're going to feel the same thing with the same conclusion. They can't be exactly what we want. In a nutshell, I believe in the modern time, peace is achievable only through the ability to figure out how to survive that realization. That there will be divisions among communicating people that can never be mended into one picture. The alternative to that, of course, is global unification under one umbrella of precepts and plans and rules and whatnot. And I am a Christian myself, but I'll quickly say that I think God gave us free will, and that free will is not something I think I should take away from everyone because God didn't do that. And that is my reasoning for saying it isn't my job to make everybody like me, in my belief. You know, that's, we pray for that. We don't demand it of each other, I think. But there's a lot of people out there that are not Christian, and free will means they're allowed that. And though there is pressure within my religion to go forth and make example enough to teach people to believe in God, there is not a mandate that we are responsible for conquering the world into that as a sense of ownership, as it were. I don't think that's a good way of looking at it. So I think we have to accept there are going to be divisions, and we're going to see them because global communication, and we're going to have to accept they're never going to agree with us. That is complicated to say, maybe, but it's a whole lot more complicated to do. I want people, though, to keep in mind that central tenet of this particular readout before going on. And so I'll repeat it once. I believe it is necessary, if you're going to have peace in a world of global communication, it is necessary to accept that everyone accept that we will encounter people that are completely incompatible in belief with us. And we are going to need to figure out how to live with that calmly. That is one of two things I wish to proffer as a solution to the issue of peace. The second element of it is partially how to do that. When you have completely incompatible beliefs, completely incompatible practices, you have to decide whether you want to look at it. You have to decide whether you have any reason, right, or even inclination to try to control it. And you have to decide how to be, you have to find a way to be comfortable with your answers to those two questions. If we wish to have peace, and we've accepted that there are differences we can't mend, I think we have to draw one line to make that safe. And that is, I can't make you do anything on your side of this divide. And you can't make me do anything on my side of the divide. Unless it is to promote opportunity for people to be free, to be whole. Now, that is a complicated issue, and there's lots of ways you can try to translate that. Common examples include, if we are going to be working at the same office, I can't make you a Christian, and you can't make me an atheist. I can't make you gay, you can't make me transgender, what have you. There's all kinds of lines you could draw on the sand as to you're this and I'm not, etc. But when we come to the table at work, we have to make sure that we're both allowed to be there and to contribute what we're there to contribute without expecting agreement on things that are not related to it. I'll come back to that a little bit more in future entries in this list. To me, this is common sense, but I am finding that history is a cyclical thing, and that we go through periods where people want more than what I'd call a fair share. They want people to be on their page. And a lot of that's because they've been oppressed, and that's what you do. You want what you can get when you've had nothing for too long. It's human nature. I forgive when I think it is out of a pit of anguish that someone demands more than half, as it were. But it doesn't fix the fact that it's a bad idea. This particular post is admittedly very abstract, and that's intended. It will come down to earth pretty soon in other posts. But for now, an ending summary. Two points out of all this. Peace is something you achieve now in global communication by acknowledging that you're going to have people you cannot see eye to eye with and finding a way to deal with that. And in point two, in dealing with that, I think we have to work out a way to avoid force except when it is to simply make opportunity possible. I have two favorite analogies to close with. One is the one I already mentioned, having everybody sit at the table. That's diversity and inclusion in a nutshell. Diversity is everybody's different. Inclusion is we're all at the table and we're all contributing. Put another way, diversity means we don't have to agree. Inclusion means we are all able to add at that table. I think some people make the mistake of assuming diversity is supposed to mean everybody's welcome, but you have to have some some common elements. But as soon as you make some common elements, you have a problem with diversity, because there's going to be people that say, ah, that's not me. That's a whole can of worms. The second analogy I frequently refer to is the two kids in the back seat who are trying to take a nap, and they keep butting heads. And the way you get peace out of that is you figure out where the middle is, and you say, Bob, don't go past the middle. Jill, don't go past the middle. And as soon as somebody does, they're a problem. Because once you've gone past the middle, you're denying someone a fair opportunity. Force is parental in that particular example generally, but it is intended to give everyone as much of a chance as possible without eclipsing someone else. And I think it's very important to know where that line is drawn when you're setting up peace. You let people go as far as they can without eclipsing someone else. I'm sure books aplenty have been written about this subject, so I'm probably barely scratching the surface. But nowadays, it is something of some significant concern. And the advent of the level of global communication we have. And if I may make a diversion that may become its own readout one day, in the scape we've created with social media and other means of communicating rapidly, globally, en masse to people, it has its own effects on things. I think that's enough for one of these.